new CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Hands where we can see them!
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it up!
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violent Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Everybody, and welcome to another edition of Tunnel Vision. Ryan looks so excited. A show brought to you by USCFootball.com. I'm your host, Keely, joined by Ryan Abraham and Shotgun Spratling. You know, guys, I think we planned to talk about USC BYU.
So close. The game, 35-31. Let's talk about that fourth down play that was a yard short. Should we go into that more? Or?
See, but maybe USC fans forgot there was even a game played last week because of the news, or excuse me,
yesterday.
Less than 24 hours ago? Yes, because
of
the news, Lincoln Riley is headed to USC. He is USC's next head coach. Ryan, I'm just going to jump to you first.
Are you kidding me?
You're freaking out over there. Take it away.
First of all, so it's been a big weekend. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving, everybody.
USC plays BYU.
Thanksgiving weekend, that was too. We're having a huge sale. Our Black Friday sales all the way through Cyber Monday now. 75% off an annual membership. A lot of new members. Thanks for everyone that signed up. But this is the best time. You're going to get so much information on the USC football team. Lincoln Riley, the recruiting, all that stuff. Jump in right now. 75% off. You can use this with gifts, anything you want to do. But make sure you get in there and do this. But this is the kind of stuff you want. The big news. The Lincoln Riley news to USC. We talked about, when Mike Bone came in a couple years ago. There's a lot of singles, right? Like, oh, fix this problem, fix that problem. It wasn't what everyone wanted. Everyone wanted Clay Helton to be fired. Took a lot longer than what people wanted, but it happened this September. You got to see Clay Helton gone. I think a lot of USC fans had some PTSD. We were getting absolutely crushed on the message boards, on the peristyle.
Yep. Yep.
If we said anything that wasn't like, Nick Saban's coming to USC. And they're like, oh, it's going to be terrible. They're going to get Jack Del Rio, or they're going to hire a huge – and it was like, look, and we tried to tell everyone, look, I think this is going to be a wow hire. That's one of the things I said in the war room, which is going to be a wow hire. And, who's a wow? Who's a wow? Anything we said was going to be criticized. They're like, I don't believe it. It's going to be bad. New USC is never going to be good again. It'll take 1,000 years for this team to get – and it was like, look, just hold on. Just wait. Just wait a minute. And boom. We thought – and I think Matt Campbell would be – an absolute great hire from Iowa State, a wild hire. I think he was someone that would come in 3 of the last 6 years. The guy's Big 12 coach of the year, awesome stuff. He goes above. There was the group of, these are realistic names. Because you think, realistic, that's probably where. For USC to hire someone realistic is out of the realm of possibility. Because USC would never do that. They would go way below what would be realistic. Brandon Sosna, Mike Bone, they go, realistic, hey, that's nice. We'll work there, but if we can get something better than that, if we can go pie in the sky, the one LSU was trying to get, all that stuff, go get Lincoln Riley, one of the hottest young minds in college football playoff appearances, Big 12 championships over and over and over again. That's just not something we've seen USC do before. They haven't done the Matt Campbell stuff. They haven't done the Dave Aranda stuff. To go one step beyond that and getting a Lincoln Riley is absolutely huge. So I think for all the USC fans that were worried about, is this administration? Do they care about winning? Do they really think football's important? Blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what? They do. They hired Lincoln freaking Riley, and USC has a new football coach, and I'm pretty happy about it.
It seems like you're pretty happy there, Ryan.
Do you like that? That was, just...
Which is interesting, because Ryan's
non-prepared is the rant off the top of my head,
It's typically what you do,
yes. Tell them about our sale, though?
I told them about the sale. Yeah, 75% off. Get in there. USCFootball.com.
Make sure you guys know about the sale.
You got to get in there.
For the people that
aren't
VIP.
Get stuff like this all the time. Just me talking like this. Come on.
Look at that.
And if you had been a part of the peristyle, prior to this, if you read the War Room, Ryan did say he expected a wow hire. Now that's a wow hire. You know, if the top of the list, Nick Saban is number one. Arguably, or probably not even arguably, the greatest football coach, college football coach there is. Lincoln Riley was probably my number two.
Wow.
There's some things with Dabo Swinney. I know some people would have him up there, but there's some things that rub me the wrong way with him. So Lincoln Riley was my number two. So, I mean, you go out and get, you know, one of the top two quarter, the top two names in the game that tells you about it. I mean, you throw Kirby Smart up there as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's in the top five at minimum. So Lincoln Riley, you know, looking at some of the stats that they've had, just ridiculous. I mean, their offense, his 5 years as a head coach at Oklahoma, 45 points, 48 points, 42, 43, and then 38 this year. They're having a down year this year. 38.
Only 38 points, yeah.
Yeah, if USC could score 38 points on average this year, they would have been in all those games instead of being blown out. And that's been the difference for them, is their defense couldn't stop anybody and their offense couldn't keep up with anybody. So they'll at least be able to play, you know, at least be able to put some points on the board with Lincoln Riley.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see, you know, what he does with the rest of the staff. That's the next step. You know, that never stops for us. And I know some people are already asking those questions, but those will be, that'll be an important thing to see where USC can go from here, how quickly they can ascend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So just to go over the topics for tonight, obviously Lincoln Riley to SC. What does that mean for recruiting? It's a very interesting timing because the early signing period is just around the corner, but is there enough time to really revolutionize the class that USC has right now? We'll get into that. And the best guy to get into that is Gerard Martinez, and he's actually going to call in live on the show tonight. We're also going to have Bruce Feldman call in. I think he's already had some of the behind-the-scenes details out there, so we'll pick his brain about that as well. So make sure you stay tuned to that. He's calling in around 7:30. A lot to talk about, guys. I mean, you already kind of said your initial reactions. I mean, but we talked about, you know, is this USC program a rebuild? What will this look like for the next coach? Does Lincoln Riley kind of blow that rebuild out of the water, or do you still need to kind of rebuild the foundation that's there?
You know, I think there's going to be some rebuilding going on, but you're talking about bringing in just a high caliber head coach that's not only going to be someone that can change the culture, that can build a great staff, who can put together all the pieces you would need to be successful in the Pac-12. You see that, but also on the personnel side, there's probably going to be some weeding out of players, but there's going to be a lot of players that are excited for Lincoln Riley. There's going to be transfer portal players that are excited from Lincoln Riley. Maybe Oklahoma players that are excited to follow Lincoln Riley, or players from other places. And then for the recruiting aspect that you talked about, we'll get into this with Gerard. Gerard will probably call in about 7:45. For that aspect of things, hey, that changes the game. Like when we were I've talked to Gerard before. It's like, you know, like Matt Campbell would be a great hire. Might not move the recruiting needle. If you get someone like Lincoln Riley, who already has like a great 2023 class lined up, that can move the recruiting needle. So what he can do is starting right away, and Bob Stoops is going to take over the interim for their bowl game, but he can come out here, and even though USC is going to play this weekend in Berkeley, he can be on campus, and he can recruit, and he can have a host official visits and all that kind of stuff. So that's a huge head start, because they'll have 2 weekends of that, of Lincoln Riley being able to recruit on the USC campus before the early signing period. You might be able to salvage something out of this 2022 recruiting class, which is huge, because that's going to help the whole rebuilding process if you get some of that influx of talent right away.
It's not even going to be, you know, you're not saving the class. This is going to be a damn good class.
I like that. That's good.
You know, Gerard's going to talk about this later, but I've talked with some recruits today. I've talked with some players today that have talked with a couple of the recruits as well. You know, USC has struggled with top talent leaving the area. Some of that top talent is going to be staying.
Yeah.
Some of the top talent that's already committed elsewhere. Some of it committed to Oklahoma. I mean, Malik Brown is the first one everybody's mind went to. And he, you know, he made it known really quickly as soon as the news came out. And he's, you know, he tweeted about staying home. So, you know, that's a big one. Running back, guy you can, you know, you can use in the slot and do some different things. But there's other guys. You talked about the Los Alamitos trio that are 2023 commits. You know, five-star, and four-star.
Yeah.
You know, that's a talented group. But you're also going to be able to salvage part of this class, not just the 2023. There's going to be other guys that come up that USC's been out of it a little bit. And just the name, some guys that USC's just been kind of hanging around. And guys put out their top four, their top five. And USC, you look at it and like, they're not really in that mix. They're probably four or five in that mix. this is going to shoot them up, and they're going to be in the mix for one or two now. Now, can they close those? That will be the big thing. You know, not only getting Lincoln Riley now, you got to get your coordinators, you got to get your, you know, position coaches. That'll help close the deal. And if they do that, they can close with some big time names. You know, even some offensive linemen. I know that's taboo with USC recruiting, but you know they've been in the mix for Josh Connerly up in Washington. They've been in the mix for Devin Campbell in Texas. Two guys that I think both of them are five stars now. So those are two guys that they could potentially close on. Oklahoma was in the mix for Connerly as well as USC previously, so there's already a relationship there. Devin Campbell being from Texas, already a relationship there. So those are two guys that USC will be in the mix for. Can they close on some of them? They could finish with a really good recruiting class when it looked like it was in the complete doldrums. It just looked like it was going to be terrible. Got a chance, and especially with this hire being announced now, that gives them that little bit of extra time. And like you said, he'll be able to be around next week to be recruiting or even going out and doing some in-home visits because that had just started. I believe today is the first day that coaches are allowed, head coaches are allowed to do that. So, you know, that'll definitely help them. And, you know, I'm curious to see if he's going to be at Cal next week. Like, do you want to watch this team?
No, I think you want to stay. Yeah, I think you got to be home and recruit. And for the rebuilding
part. You're Lincoln Riley, though. You can get that private jet. You can fly up there for 3 hours and get back.
You could, yeah.
It's an 8 a.m. kick. I mean, PM kick.
For like, but for when you said the rebuild part of it, like, obviously the recruiting things help, but just what we saw, I know you don't want to talk about the game, just what we saw, like, that was like probably the best team or second best team USC played. And it might be the best that they played. Like, they tackled better. They swarmed to the ball. There was a lot more heart. There was a lot more desire. They moved the ball better. They ran the ball. They were physical. I mean, they did well at the line of scrimmage. Like, so all the people that are like, USC has no players, everyone sucks. Like, that's not the case. Like, they were not coached well, and you saw they have potential. So just seeing what USC did yesterday, I think that helps, like, a Lincoln Riley. Like, oh, there's pieces here. We can go. Like, I got Kalen Bullock. I mean, you can do a lot with these guys. So I think the people, the demise of the talent of the program, yeah, it's not where it was with Pete Carroll, but it's not awful. It's still, you know, tops in the Pac-12 are up there. So Lincoln Riley can certainly build on that too.
Mm-hmm. And one of those young guys from yesterday is Jackson Dart. Lincoln Riley is known for his quarterbacks. What do you expect with that?
Yeah, what do you think?
It'll be interesting to see. There's been rumors when he was, you know, people talking about him going to LSU last week, that Caleb Williams would follow him. We've seen that rumor today as well, that he would follow him to USC. That would completely change everything.
Yeah.
Because if he comes in fresh, you know, you're going in, hey, you got to learn my offense. It's very similar to Graham Harrell's offense. It is a spread air raid style offense. He does some things differently. Always, each coach does a little bit differently. He does things better, I think. And he's willing to run the ball downhill a little bit more than Graham Harrell has been willing to. So, but you have an open competition to begin with. Or if Caleb Williams comes in, he's going to be the guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's not coming. He's not following Lincoln Riley here. He's already, you know, he's already got a year in the system and all that type of stuff. So, you know, that's going to change the quarterback room dramatically if that happens. You know, whether it's going to be a competition, whether it's already established someone, if guys transfer out, different things like that. So that's one to really keep an eye on. If he goes in the transfer portal, obviously you think he's coming to USC. So we'll see what happens there. I think he'll probably wait and see what happens with the head coach at Oklahoma as well. But talking about the talent, I think it's still going to be a rebuild because I just don't know if anyone's going to be back on the offensive line.
Yeah. That's true.
You know, Brett Nealon said last night that he's still undecided. He's still going to think about it after the season. You know, but some of the – Liam Jimmins is definitely gone. He's a six-year guy. Some of those fifth-year juniors, the other guys, you know, Andrew Voorhees, Jalen McKenzie, probably leaving from what I've been told. So that's going to make it that much more difficult to make a quick rebuild because you're going to throw in Cortland Ford, Jonah Monheim, Justin Dedich, and
– yeah. Transfer portal guys, woohoo!
Hopefully, yeah. I mean that's what you hope for, and right. And now, granted, Lincoln Riley has done a good job in the transfer portal of getting offensive linemen. He got Chris Murray from, you know, former Modern Day lineman UCLA. Yeah. He's gotten a couple guys from Tennessee. A couple guys came from Tennessee that were starters this year for him. So he's done a good job at that. He's been one of the few people to do that. But that is one of the big positions in need. Same thing in the defensive line. So we'll see where they're at with those areas before I can say that whether it's going to be a rebuild or they're actually reloading.
Yeah.
So some breaking news right now. You mentioned him already. Malachi Nelson just decommitted from OU, the five-star quarterback. Shotgun, what does this mean for USC now?
I mean, USC is definitely in the mix there. You know, USC was the leader for Malachi Nelson until they offer Nico Amaleve. So they had told him apparently that they were not going to offer anyone else. And yeah. So everyone kind of assumed that he was going to USC. That was the buzz. That was what he was expected. So that kind of opens things up. You would think that he would probably be Lincoln Riley's preferred choice. Nico Amaleva is a dynamic talent as well. Two really good quarterbacks. And I think if you're USC and you can flip Malachi Nelson over, you take him and you get your guy and you don't waffle on it like they have done in the past and end up with neither guy. So, you got 2 5-star quarterbacks in your backyard. Make sure you lock up one of those instead of one of them being the Heisman front runner at Alabama, one of them being the Heisman front runner coming into the weekend at Ohio State, and another one being at Clemson leading the a team that's been in the playoff for 3 years.
Yeah, Ari Wasserman reporting from The Athletic that he's already been called by Lincoln Riley, so on USC's behalf. Yeah,
okay.
So he's reporting that. Let's go back to real quick one thing.
Yeah.
Remember like when people were talking about what was the thing, what would I harp on the most? Like, hire somebody that's good at their job. That's all you have to do. Like,
doesn't know the fight song. That was your other stipulation.
They don't know the fight song. I don't think Lincoln Riley knows the fight song. Perfect. But hire someone who's good at the job you're trying to get them to do. You're like, oh, I think he could be good at that or whatever. USC's avoided that for years and years. You go hire an athletic director who's, guess what? Been an athletic director. Had some success. Okay, that's good. You know what they're going to come in and do? Like, good athletic director stuff. And then what you do is like, okay, part of that good athletic director stuff is hire a good football coach. And it doesn't have to be, oh, what about this guy? Get someone that's really good. Okay, Lincoln Riley's really good at his job. So you're like, maybe the offensive line's going to be a little bit rough. But you know what? You hired someone that's good at their job. They figure that crap out. Like, that's what they do. So, like, having someone that's just really good at what you're hiring them for is something USC avoided at all costs. Now they're doing it. And now you're going to see good things up. You're seeing a good hiring process. They kept it very quiet. They hit a home run, a grand slam. All those singles, now you hit a grand slam.
You got to get singles to get guys on base.
They put like 50 guys on base and then they hit a super grand slam. I don't think is that allowed? That's probably not legal.
That's
not how baseball works.
It's not a baseball term, Ryan.
It's more like the Dodgers in the playoffs, putting a lot of guys on base.
Then no one was going on. I know. You got to get back to the Braves.
Braves fan is over here.
Right. But, but then you're back to now you have to trust Lincoln Riley that's going to be able to come in and do his thing. And that's why you hire someone like that. So I can tell you this too. Like, USC fans are tickled. My podcast partner for the Podcast of Champions, David Woods, he's probably crying into his dish towel right now. Like, this is not what you want. He wants, Jeff Fisher or Clancy Pendergast. Like, he makes fun of those days because that's the kind of people USC's hired. He doesn't want to see Lincoln Riley at USC. He's like, we're all doomed. Like, that's not what. So the other thing is, like, you want to hire the person that everyone else in the conference would hate for you to hire. They would hate Nick Saban, and probably number two, they would hate Lincoln Riley. So pretty damn good job by the USC administration, because not only someone that USC fans want, but you are going to make, that could make Mario Cristobal go to Miami. Like, literally something like that. He's like, I don't want to do this. Like, I'm not going to get those 5-star Southern California guys if Lincoln Riley's there. Like, that's the kind of shockwaves this could have over the Pac-12. And that's what you want. And USC, we're going to have Bruce Feldman on a little bit. His thing was, like, you have to try to screw it up. Like, literally, you have to try. And USC's done a really good job of screwing it up. Now, you're shooting for the stars, and you get a guy like Lincoln Riley, and things should be going pretty well from here on out.
Mm-hmm.
The most notable thing is, you talked about how USC has gone about their approach previously. They flex their muscle, for once.
Yes.
USC's out here at Muscle Beach today, just working out and showing off the guns and everything. Mm. Whereas in the past, it's been like, how can we nickel and dime this?
Yeah.
How can we piece it together? You mentioned many times, but the weight room that Pete Carroll had. And the administration was like, well, you can win a national championship. You're showing you win a national championship even without amenities. Now they've brought in, they've built everything up with all those singles that they've been trying to do behind the scenes and, trying to build around Clay Helton because they didn't feel like they could get rid of him. Contract was a huge albatross, and now they went out and they said, all right, let's go do it, and they flexed their muscle and got probably the best head coach that they could get that was available. So and that's something that is also now going to put a lot of pressure on the rest of the Pac-12. You mentioned Mario Cristobal and the potential he may look elsewhere, but I think it puts a lot of pressure on the rest of the Pac-12 to, one, try to compete with that or get left in the dust. And USC's kind of let everyone hang around for the last 10 years. And,
oh, yeah.
And there's been this big window of opportunity. I think the Arizona State, Chris Cartman said, you know, this is why you got to take advantage of golden opportunities. because right. eventually
the, that window's now been shut. Like, boom.
Yeah, eventually the giant wakes up.
Yeah.
And USC's finally doing that.
In that
Steve
same...
Leon, real quick. Steve Leon on Twitter says, I'm tickled pink like Shotgun's jacket. So, just like, so thanks, Steve.
It's a little blinding there.
Sorry,
Keith. Hey, these guys know I always wear a suit jacket when for big games when USC played in the Cotton Bowl, when I cover the Rose Bowl. You know, you got to dress up for the appearance, and hey, this is a big, big tunnel vision.
And no tie either. No tie.
We didn't want to go that far.
Yeah. Sorry, Keely.
Multiple things. You mentioned what this will do in the Pac-12. Well, what could it do for the Pac-12? Raising, you know, the national brand, if you will, of the conference, because we always talk about USC is kind of the leader in that sense, and Oregon's had its shine while USC has been down. What could this do for the conference as a whole?
It's big. I think George Klyavkov is like doing backflips right now. He's needed something good to happen since he took over, like NIL started. All these things were happening that was just like, whoa, like the playoff expansion, the SEC, you know, Texas and Oklahoma leaving for the SEC. The whole landscape of college football changed in the last few months since he's been the commissioner. And he needs, and he came in and said as much, like, we want the big brands to do well. Like, if we're not making the college football playoff, we're not relevant. The Pac-12 is relevant. Like the fact that UCLA beat LSU early on and Oregon's you know, beatdown of Ohio State was absolutely huge. But then losing to Stanford and, you know, and then losing to Utah in the fashion they did, obviously the Pac-12's out of it again. Having Lincoln Riley should, you know, raise the profile of the conference, obviously of USC. And, you know, if it's a situation where USC is sort of like Clemson, where they're making the playoff every year, that's fine. Like, you're at least in the playoff as a Pac-12, you know, the Pac-12 would be in the playoff, but he would love to see like Utah, you know, Crystal Ball stay at Utah, keep building that, keep recruiting
Crystal
really well.
At Oregon?
I'm sorry, at Oregon. And, you know, building up those two programs where you have, you know, a couple of big ones where it's like an Alabama and a Georgia instead of just like a Clemson and everybody else. So I think, yeah, it's huge for him. He needs both LA schools. I mean, he would love, you know, Chip Kelly or whoever, if UCLA gets somebody else in a year or two, them to be really good again. But having USC, the flagship program, with a flagship head coach is exactly what he needs to start building on this, because 2024 is when that new TV deal comes in. It's way easier to negotiate that when USC is have a Lincoln Riley head coach versus USC has a Clay Helton head coach.
Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing is that even if only USC rises up, you know, then you still talk about the Pac-12. That would be in the conversation. You know, if USC takes Oklahoma's place and they do what Oklahoma's done, and hey, Oklahoma's not been successful as successful this season, still in the college football playoff conversation throughout the season. You know, the last few years, there's still been the Big 12 championship game has mattered. You know, the Big 12 is just being constantly is mentioned, whereas you look at the Pac-12 championship this year and it's number 11 versus 19. Like, no one cares about that game.
Hey, I'm going.
Yeah, you're one of the few outside of Oregon or Utah fans. But that, like, the national conversation is not about the Pac-12 at all. If you, like, I listen to ESPN's college football podcast a couple of days a week, and how little the Pac-12 is talked about compared to everything else now. Obviously, they don't have as big of a relationship with ESPN doesn't with the Pac-12 as they do some other conferences. But they still would talk about them if it was number one versus number three,
yeah,
or whatever it may be. There's just not that much conversation about the Pac-12. So if USC does rises and can play up to the potential that they that we think that they have the capabilities of under Lincoln Riley, then I think the Pac-12 itself will get that many more opportunities, not be in the national picture that much more.
Dude, we have like over 2,000 people on
YouTube. Thank you
YouTube
to everyone
right
watching. The
hit
comments.
That like button. Hit the comments. You know.
Facebook as well, Periscope. Thanks to everybody watching, leaving comments. Just a reminder, sorry I didn't say this at the top, no calls today. We aren't taking calls just because we have Bruce Feldman and Gerard Martinez calling in pretty soon, and we're just getting flooded. So we'll take calls and we'll get your thoughts in later shows. But thanks so much for all the interest we're getting.
We might have to do another show. So there's going to be a press conference tomorrow.
Tentatively scheduled for three.
So we might do another show earlier in the week or something just to
we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll let you know.
What's crazy is USC still has a game to play, Cal. We still have practices to go to. So there's a lot to do this week, but definitely very fun in that sense. I don't know if we've covered it yet, but I think when the name first came out and speaking of Bruce Feldman, he's the one who said, you know, wouldn't be surprised if USC took a swing at Lincoln Riley.
He tweeted that like earlier this morning, and I was like, yeah.
But there were kind of some laughs about it. Why would Lincoln Riley ever go to USC, et cetera, et cetera? Well, he's here. He's here at USC. What's the reasoning, you guys, in your mind, Ryan?
Yeah. So the way this kind of went down, and hopefully we'll get some more information from everyone involved, you know, coming up, but it's sort of like one of those heist movies, you know, where you're talking about where, so you're stealing that really expensive, you know, $3 million painting. And if you, no one knows it's coming. And then when you steal it, they don't even know it's gone. Like the people I talked to at Oklahoma had no idea this was coming. This completely out of the blue. And if you remember, who is the running back from Louisiana, the five-star that USC got during the Pete Carroll era?
Oh, what? Joe McKnight.
Joe McKnight. So Joe McKnight, five-star from Louisiana, running back. You know, Pete Carroll's rolling. And we knew, like, hey, he's coming to USC. And, like, nobody would believe it. It was just sort of like this thing, like, but Pete Carroll wasn't publicizing. He didn't want to make it public. And when he ends up signing with USC, everyone's like, sure, like, oh, I thought he was going to go to LSU. And I mean, Ed Orgeron was, you know, he was trying to get him really badly at Ole Miss at the time and all that. And it was sort of the thing that was like, you were doing this sort of behind the scenes. It was more like a ninja style thing. It's like a heist movie. You're coming in there and you don't even know you're being heisted. And you know, slip in and slip out before you know. And that's kind of, I think, what happened here. And there's obviously what we've talked about, and when people are like, oh, why would anyone go to USC, people would tweet me that stuff, like, there's no one in the stadium. And it's the potential. It's just like when you sign a five-star prospect, you don't expect them to be NFL ready, but there's so much potential there. He's such a great athlete. He can jump this high, run this fast, and you got to build that. You can build that into a great player. USC's had a lot of potential guys come in and haven't developed them on the player side. The program itself is a five-star program that has the potential. There's so many benefits to it. Now, there's drawbacks, too. Lincoln Riley's going to bring in his staff, wherever he hires. If you've got some, like, cornerbacks coach that makes $300,000 a year, it goes a lot for, you know, you're a mansion in Norman, Oklahoma, and you're, like, in a two-bedroom apartment in Los Angeles. It's just like, I mean, that's sort of like, but, so there's definitely disadvantages. There's traffic and all that stuff, but there's a reason why there's so much traffic, because a lot of people want to live here, right? There's the beaches, the mountains, and all that kind of stuff. But if you're talking about trying to build a pedigree of championships, you can do it at a place like USC where you don't have – you're the Alabama. You don't act like Alabama. You haven't acted like Alabama lately. But there's no Georgia there, and there's no LSU, and there's no Florida. Those programs aren't around. Like, Oregon could be good. Washington could be good. UCLA, but – there's nothing like the kind of competition you're going to get in the SEC. For Oklahoma to go into that, like, they could be great and finish like fourth or fifth in their division. Like, I have a great team. If he has a great team at USC, he's winning the Pac-12. Like, so there's a lot of advantages to doing that. And obviously that, you know, some of those things have to be important to Lincoln Riley to come in there. But with all that potential stuff we talked about, and people are like, no one likes USC anymore, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's untrue. Like, Lincoln Riley wouldn't come to USC if he didn't think there was a potential to win national championships.
One is definitely the potential. The recruiting grounds. He's already recruiting the West Coast heavily to begin with, so he knows the players that are out here, the type of players that are out here, so you see that. The LA lifestyle, you know, you don't have a well-groomed 5 o'clock shadow like he does without, you know, he could probably wear some tight-fitting jeans and, you know, slick the hair, Cliff Kingsbury style, and fit right in L.A. And that was one of the things when Cliff Kingsbury signed to be the offense coordinator. Said, oh, he would fit really well, his personality. I think Lincoln Riley's personality fits in that category as well. And then it's the path. I know some people are like, oh, he's soft. He's going to this conference because it's so much easier. Yeah, so yeah, do you think Dabo Swinney's really complaining the ACC has not been, you know, that Florida State and Miami aren't national powers constantly? No, he's like, oh, I get into the college football playoff and I can win. You know, we got to build ourselves up and we got to compete and understand that the competition's a little bit lower here than it may be against some other teams when we get in the playoff. But he's not bemoaning it. No, you're not crying out that you're not in the SEC West and there's not three, you know, really good teams almost every year.
Yeah.
Now there's other teams that are overinflated every single year.
True.
And even if they have a great team, they wouldn't be the fourth best team in the SEC. There'd just be other teams that, oh, we got one win against Oklahoma, so that makes our season, and people rank them 20th or something.
Yeah.
SEC. But yeah, going to the SEC is a much different beast. you know, just because there's a more consistent competition level there, and everyone is willing to spend the money, and it's cutthroat. You know, 2 years after winning a national championship, Ed Orgeron's fired. Now, there's other things off the field that created that there, but you got to look at that and pause a little bit and go, hmm. Whereas USC stuck with Clay Helton for much longer than he should have been stuck with. So, you know, you think you're going to get a little bit more rope at USC. You know, and I'm sure the conversation about assistant coach pay and facilities and all that stuff, does USC match up with LSU? They obviously had to get this deal done. So I think that you feel like you're going to get all the resources you need, and you can be the power in the West. If you go LSU or Alabama or anywhere else, the states are so much closer together. USC, you can dominate the entire West.
Yeah.
So then you're pulling from not only Southern California, but 6 to 8 to 10 different states that are your recruiting grounds. And then you can go across and get a Leonard Williams. You can go across and get, you know, a Joe McKnight or something like that and pluck some key players out. But you can start in Southern California and, you know, the entire West region. So I don't think you can do that in some of the other places just because there's so much more competition there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know it's very early, but defensive coordinator, any idea? Are you guys expecting anything so far right now?
So I think Alex Grinch has been criticized a little bit, but I thought he did a great job at Washington State. I honestly haven't followed it too much at the Oregon, you know, I mean, at the Oklahoma level, but he's been a big name. He was at Ohio State. Yeah, I mean, I think if he comes over with Lincoln Riley, I think it's because he trusts him. I think he would do well on the West Coast. He already did, when, you know, he did a great job when he was at Washington State. So, but I don't know. I haven't looked into too much on that, but that's going to be, you know, that's going to be a big hire. You expect some offensive guys to come over with him. If he brings defensive guys too, I mean, that's fine, but just, it depends on who he feels comfortable with. But that's, that DC, I think, is going to be a big hire.
Yeah, that's been the weakness for Lincoln Riley's teams, has been the defense. And part of that is when you run a up-tempo offense and spread offense, are you preparing them enough in practice? You know, that's been a conversation with Graham Harrell's offense, same thing. So I think getting someone that's used to that and knows how to still prepare the defense, like Alex Grinch has been able to do, both at Washington State and now at Oklahoma, someone's just, you know, you can't just go from a different style. I think the offensive style you're facing every day in practice or, you know, throughout the fall camps and stuff changes the way you can prepare your team. So you got to be used to that, I think, a little bit. So that would be one thing that I would kind of look at. But any names right now, I mean, I think let's give it 24 hours before we get to names for all the other position coaches and DCs and everything else.
Yeah, the questions, though, are rolling in. People want their answers now, which is hilarious. Just a
Those are definitely questions we have as well.
Yes, yes. Don't worry about that. The interesting thing, too, no leaks. This was a quiet process for USC's admin. I mean, that's something we are not used to on that front.
I give him credit. And, you know, I've kind of went on a limb a couple times, like in the war room, and people got on me sometimes. I was like, hey, you know, like I said, it was going to be a while higher. I said, you know, they're playing chess. They're going to go in and do a good job. And I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised with who you get. Not that I knew who they were going to get. I mean, they were very quiet about stuff. But just, I think from knowing the way they worked, I just felt really confident that this was, they were thinking things ahead. There was a lot of, you know, that 2.5 months, lead time. They knew what was going on. And I just felt they were going to make a really good hire. And I got a little worried yesterday because it seemed like some of the things were falling through. But it's funny. I talked to Mike Bone a little bit and Brandon Sauce in the press box. They seemed very calm. They were there to honor Tim Tesselone, who's retiring after 43 years as sports information director. You know, people were like, oh, they're not out there negotiating or whatever. And just people were like getting on him. Like, just for me, even talking to Mike Bone and not like grilling him about the head coach, like in a press box full of people, they're mad. They were like, they're, and so you have to give them credit. And I felt like was a mistake made by not getting rid of Clay Helton earlier. And I think if they could go back and do it, they probably would. But their plan was to certainly build a nest around whoever the next head coach was going to be, build it all up, all the infrastructure, everything you needed. So that was a plan. Now, that's not a plan that suits well with fans because they want to win now. They want to get a coach now. They had a long-term vision of this. And the only way you could be critical of that plan and when they fired Clay Helton is if they didn't get a great head coach. Well, you knocked it out of the park. So then you have to say, all right, you know, I probably wouldn't have done, I would have got rid of Clay Helton earlier, but you didn't, and it worked out because it took you 2 years to like build up all the infrastructure, and that was enough to attract someone like Lincoln Riley to come here. So give them credit for, you know, they were criticized the entire way by everybody, like all the fans, like a lot of most of the fans. They were really criticize. And now it comes to like, hey, this was the plan they had in place, and they delivered on it. So you got to give them props for that.
In that sense, one, do you think USC fans will be happy? How long will they sustain the emotion of happiness? And two, what are the expectations going forward?
I mean, season ticket sales are going through the roof right now. I know, yeah. I know I've had multiple people tweet at me like, oh, I renewed my season tickets as soon as I heard this news. Or I'm going to get my season tickets back that I have given up for the last 3 years or whatever it may be. So I think that's definitely the fan interest is definitely there. Now, and the fan interest will be there throughout the offseason, into fall camp, through the first two games when they win against their no-name opponents. But then when they get to conference play, you know, then we'll see. Because, like I said, I think there's going to be some deficiencies, and I think fans will stick with them, but I think that they'll, if the team is fighting. And that was the thing about last night's BYU game is the team actually showed fight. They showed pride, and that's something that hasn't been there. And I asked a couple players, you know, after the game and today as well, what went into that? Why? Why did suddenly it come together? And I think Senior Day played a big part in it. They, you know, they care for those seniors, and that tells you that there is some camaraderie in the locker room. I asked someone today, you know, we've seen that divide, the Texas-California, that's been a big issue earlier in the season. That's been healed up a little bit, at least. So I think that there's things that are moving towards positive notes for USC, and they showed some of their potential. They also showed they got some young players that can play. And so, you know, Lincoln Riley coming in, he's going to make some of those guys, you know, that have shown some flashes turn into stars, and we'll see, you know, how many guys are still around when next season rolls around that are on the roster right now. That'll be the most interesting thing.
Mm-hmm. Just a reminder, we have Gerard Martinez coming up soon. Ryan, no Bruce so far.
Yeah, I'm just texting him right now to see where
he
is. Yeah.
Okay, we'll get that soon. Shotgun, just quickly, what were your just overall reviews of USC's young freshman? What is Lincoln Riley? Put yourself in Lincoln Riley's shoes. What is he seeing?
I mean, you look at the freshman class and you say, those guys, most of them have gotten some experience. I think that's really big for them. And, you know, you got some guys that are still redshirting, but everyone has at least gotten a little bit of playing time on special teams to get a feel for the speed of the game. Everyone kind of knows what they need to work on going forward. I talked to Julian Simon last night, and kind of it was interesting to get his take because he's the guy he's been healthy the entire season. The four-star linebacker from Washington, used to playing both sides of the ball in high school, comes here, and he hasn't played at all.
Yeah.
And he finally got in on special teams yesterday, so I just wanted to catch up with him, and I put that video up on YouTube if you guys want to check it out. But he had some interesting things to say about what he's learned this season. So, you know, you see some of those guys and how they learn what they need, and then now you look and see, you know, Kalen Bullock making plays, Corey Foreman getting pressure in the backfield, Michael Jackson making a couple nice plays.
He did, yeah.
Lake McCree making catches all over the place, taking huge hits, and it showed that he's a weapon in the seam. Now you get Michael Trigg back. You know, you got the weapons there, and now you got to find the hog mollies. You got to find the trenches, and that's the one area where you're concerned about. And go back to that once again. But the skill players, you saw some guys make some plays. Now, if you can find the linebackers, if Rajon Davis, Julian Simon can become guys that are in the rotation next year, those are the couple things that you're looking for. But yeah, Kalen Bullock is a star in the making. So that's one of the guys. If I'm Lincoln Riley, get on the phone immediately, talk to him, figure out, tell him I want to build my defense, my secondary around you, that type of thing. So, you know, there's pieces there. I don't know, who would your first call be to? If you're calling a player on the USC team, who's your first call?
Maybe Drake London.
Yeah, that's definitely it.
Ooh.
Yeah. You got to at least try, right?
So he's saying.
I know Gavin was trying on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm going to try. Is the regular line open?
Yep,
can you call that line?
Okay. Yep.
I'm going to call. Sorry, let Bruce, you guys talk. I'm going to let Bruce call a different number.
Okay. Shotgun, something in the press release was that Dante Williams is still going to act as interim head coach for the next week. One, is that going to be awkward for him in that sense, still trying to keep the team together for one more game that's extended past the regular season? And two, do you think Dante Williams, one, will want to stay and USC's new admin will want to keep him?
I mean, I think it's three different questions. The first one, I think, you know, he just continues on what he's been doing. You try to build the program, you know, you're trying to build that culture in the locker room, try to make guys do the right things. He's going to have a meeting with Lincoln Riley. They're going to sit down and have a discussion. I think the administration wants to keep him around, and I think that he will want to stay around. He's, you know, a kid from right down the street from the Coliseum. I think that, you know, with Lincoln Riley coming around, he says, you know, and it'll depend maybe on the defense coordinators as well. You know, can I learn from the defense coordinators? Is there something that he can teach me? But unless someone else comes in with a DC offer, then I think that Dante Williams comes back. And I don't think he's going to be the DC at USC. But I think that unless some other school says, hey, we'll make you the DC, maybe they do. Then I think that he would be open to coming back. And I think that would be a smart move for USC. I talked to a recruit today and said, they better not get rid of Dante. He's the one that's kept all the kids in this class that are still in the class right now. He's the one that's been recruiting all of them. So he definitely wanted the coach to say.
Yeah. But like I've said all along, this is going to be Lincoln Riley's call. He wants anyone, if he wants the whole staff to come back or nobody to come back, like, you hire this guy because he's really good at his job. You let him do it.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty, I think we are trying to pull up Bruce at the moment. I believe he's on the line. Yes, I think he's talking to Chris Trevino right now, and I'm actually going to just rip him out from that host line.
Thank you.
Hello, Bruce. Welcome to Tunnel Vision.
Thank you.
Hold on. He got dropped out. 1 second.
Curveball.
Sorry, you're back. You're back, Bruce. Hello.
Hey,
welcome
Bruce.
To the show.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, Bruce Vellman, Fox Sports, The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at, was it Bruce Vellman?
Bruce Vellman, CFB.
Yeah. I heard
it's much easier to get to me on Twitter than it is for me to get into this calling system you set
you're gonna
up
complain
with
again,
with
come
Moat
on.
And whatever else, Brian.
I know at your age, it's kind of late. I know we're talking about, but no, just kidding, Bruce. Thank you for coming on. Appreciate it. You're always on top of all the head coaching stuff, what's going on. And, I mean, how shocked were you that USC ends up pulling the trigger on Lincoln freaking Riley? How crazy is that?
Is that his new name?
Lincoln freaking Riley, yeah.
Pretty stunning. I got to admit, so, you know, obviously you guys saw the stuff with LSU, and that was not true. And then this morning at about 9 o'clock our time, I got a call from somebody who was like, started to explain to me the Lincoln Riley situation. And I was like, wait a minute, that I just can't see that happening. And then this person was like, no, it's real. And then I put out like a tweet about it just because I still was unsure that he would actually do it. And then I don't know, an hour passed or maybe so, I spoke to somebody else who was like, or not, that person, and was like, no, this is going to happen. And there was like a time on when I think Lincoln was preparing to tell his team at 2:45 Central, which is 12:45 our time. And honestly, even after I heard that, you know, because I was in a holding pattern for a little while where I talked to my editors and kind of explained some stuff, but it just still seemed perplexing to me because I thought if Lincoln Riley's going anywhere, he's going to go to the NFL. And you know, I was, you know, I, the LSU stuff, the people I talked to was like, knocked it down pretty quickly. And then it kept going and they still knocked it down. So I was like, not that if he was going to go anywhere, he would go to LSU, but I was just like, it just didn't line up. But look, I think this was kind of in the tone of what you asked me, Ryan, is, man, USC actually pulled something off and it's getting well received. When was the last time you could say that?
It's like Howard Jones, really, like in like 1930, whatever, or 28 or something. Like it's really been a long time. And I, you know, we've talked, you know, full disclosure, Bush and I are friends and we've talked and it's just seemed like, and USC fans were this way, Bruce, were just like, they were just ready for disappointment. They were ready for Jeff Fisher or Hugh Jackson or something. And I don't know. It just seemed like this administration got criticized a lot. They kept things very quiet, which we haven't seen before. And they're able to pull off, like, you know, I thought Matt Campbell would be a great hire. This is like a grand slam hire, like above that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I thought Matt Campbell would be a great hire, and I thought it was heading in that direction. And then, you know, Lincoln jumped on this and – you know, like somebody asked me this who's not in Los Angeles, like, how is this being received? And I said, probably better than anything they've ever done here, right? Because obviously,
true,
Pete wasn't their first choice. Pete worked out great, but he wasn't their first choice. He was like their fifth or sixth choice or whatever. And, you know, you just think of all, I mean, I don't even have to tell you guys or certainly your listeners about how many times USC has bumbled its way through some like really, you know, like just ridiculous decisions, right? And so see this happen where it's a coveted person, and again, who knows? I mean, Lincoln may not win a national title. I mean, he may not even get him to the playoff. Like, as you guys well know, this is a legit rebuild he's got to do. It's not like this is he's taking over what Lane took over. You know, like, it's not. But you got a guy who players are going to want to play for, especially offensive players, right? You know, it's just he has a huge amount of credibility and cachet, and I think that's a good starting point. We'll see how his staff comes together. We know he's got a lot of very coveted recruits in the 2023 class from Southern California. I mean, just in the time I was trying to get through on your calling system, Ryan, I feel like all of them decommitted at that point from OU.
Wow. So, yeah. I mean, Bruce, when
so
I tweeted
we'll
out,
I mean,
go for
crazy.
It.
No, it's just crazy to think that, like, USC did something that not only their fans, but everybody in Southern California was like, wow, that is a great move. It just hasn't happened here in a long time.
Mm-hmm. No.
Now, when I tweeted out what Lincoln Riley, said via press conference or the presser that USC released, he said, "We'll work hard to develop a physical football team that is dominant on both lines of the scrimmage and has a dynamic, balanced offense and a stout, aggressive defense." And somehow Oklahoma fans found my tweet, blew it up, and were like, he hasn't been able to do that at Oklahoma. What are you expecting from Riley in that sense? Can he kind of overcome some of the deficiencies he might have had at Oklahoma?
That's going to be the challenge, right? Because he has air raid roots, but his O-line coach or run game coordinator, Bill Biedenboe, is really good. He's one of the best, if not the best, offensive line coach in the country. And that is a key piece of this because they have a physical football team. They throw it, but they have been really good in the run game. Defensively, they got better when they hired Alex Grinch, but it's not like there's anything close to what Georgia has, right? So I think the question is going to be, how much better can they get? Because right now this defense is atrocious. I watched them give up 62 to UCLA, and it looked easy for UCLA at times. And so, yes, you have to upgrade the talent, but I think one of the biggest challenges for them, and just, jumping into USC for a couple of days and being around the program, the thing that it struck me was there felt like a lot of independent contractors who are on staff. And this is not a knock on any of them. I think there are some good coaches of that group, but I just felt like because there was zero direction from above, again, this is not a knock on Dante either. I mean, he was in a really bad situation to take over, but I think all those issues, lack of alignment, lack of direction, when you have basically a lame duck head coach for like 3 years, it undermines recruiting. I just think that's the biggest thing that Lincoln's got to fix is how do we get everybody on the same page? Like the issue that he and especially his defense coordinator, Alex Grinch, had to remedy in Oklahoma was so much of a history of or recent history of bad things happen on defense where it's like, oh crap, we just gave up a 33-yard pass play. Here it comes. Here comes something else. And it's like it was like to get them out of that mindset. And I'm not sure they ever – like, I think they got it better. I don't know if they ever really got that group out of that mindset. Well, they're going to have to find a way to do it here because I think one of the biggest issues here, and I did a big story with Antonio Morales, my colleague at The Athletic, probably a week after Helton got fired, was just how this, like, lack of accountability, physicality, and about five other things had really kind of festered inside the program. And it's a, I've talked about this before, it's a lot. It's a Monday through Friday problem that kind of shows up on Saturdays. And I think that's going to be a big challenge for Lincoln to get out here. There's definitely a lot of talent around here, and there's some in the program, but I just think it's like you really got to get buy-in from everybody. And that's the part that felt like it's been lacking for a long time here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have something over there? So, like, the coaching carousel is crazy right now with the early signing period, which I hate the timing of it. It's made everything happen faster. Three top 10 jobs open, LSU, Florida, and USC. Now an Oklahoma job is open. I mean, it sort of felt like there could be musical chairs, right? And USC could have been sitting on the floor. Obviously, they get, the big one and Lincoln Riley. I mean, how crazy is this this cycle with all these coaches, and there's still going to be a lot of dominoes to fall, I think, now that, you know, this a big thing like Riley to USC is happening.
Right. So now Oklahoma's open. Washington and Virginia Tech are still open. I don't know if Miami's going to come open, but that obviously would be another big job. I mean, just today, not only did USC get filled, like an hour earlier, Florida got filled with Billy Napier. So, I mean, but you got LSU sitting out there. And the crazy thing, and this is, you know, this is in the context of USC. Scott Woodward was the guy who was like the, I don't know, I don't even remember, Quint from Jaws. Like, he was the big shark hunter where he was the one who got Chris Peterson to leave Boise to go when he was the AD at Washington. He got Jimbo to leave FSU when he was the AD at A&M, and even Kim Mulkey, who was like a really successful women's basketball coach, got her to leave Baylor to go to LSU. Everybody thought, okay, he was going to be the guy. Now, I mean, like we talked about, the Lincoln Riley thing was wrong on that side of it, but Jimbo sounded like he's definitely not coming. Who are you going to get there?
Yeah.
Like, Mark Stoops is a good coach, but it's like, I don't, you know, Matt Campbell's a good coach. I don't know who the available people is, especially if Luke Fickell's not. You have guys who are tied up in the playoff who they can't leave, because if they did, can you imagine what that would be like? Yeah, your program's playing for a championship and you're already talking about leaving or committing to leaving. And then there's, you know, James Franklin, he signed a long-term huge deal. Mel Tucker, who's had one winning season in 3 years as a head coach, just signed a $95 million deal with very little buyout. I mean, PJ Fleck got a new deal after, you know, he's 8-4 and lost to Bowling Green. You know, it's just, there's just not enough, you know, proven commodities at head coaches that are out there to fill these jobs.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. But, you know, USC could have been left out in the cold, and they pull off this. This is a huge one. So, but Bruce, I know you got limited time, but I appreciate you calling in. I know it took a little while to call in, but thanks.
Thank you, Bruce.
I owe you lunch, buddy. Thanks.
Always good to talk to you, Keely. Ryan, I can't believe it. You just like would not let me in because screen calls for 10 minutes and I'm on hold. And...
Blame Ryan. That's what I do, Bruce.
Cool, man.
That's what we all do. That's what everybody does.
Good. Good. That's how it should be.
And for the most part, deservedly so. For the most part, deservedly so.
Yes. Thank you, Bruce. Yes, appreciate that.
That is true. Thanks, Bruce. Talk to you soon.
Take care. All right. Well, good stuff from Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
He was on the Audible podcast with Stuart Mandel, and they did like a – they had already recorded something about Bedlam, and then they did a little – snippet beforehand and he talked about it a little bit. So I wanted to get him to come. So it was great for him to come on the show and kind of give some insight. But he gave that first hint in the tweet this morning, and I saw that. I was like, okay. Like, I was like, there's something to this. Like, he didn't do that for nothing, you know?
I want to take at least a little bit of credit. I told one of the administration people, like, I'm exhausted by this search. Can we just get this done? Can we get an announcement out there? So I'm going to take a little bit of credit.
Of course you will. And it's funny.
So Shotgun was at the basketball game like 2 days ago, and I guess everyone was holding up signs for
– ESPN had these little placards that said, I'm thankful for, and had a blank, and you're supposed to write in, and you hold it up since it was a Thanksgiving tournament. So I tried to get through Brandon Sauce, and I tried to get Mike Bone to just write the name of the coach in and hold it up. And just a new way to unveil a new coach, you know. No one, because they kept it so quiet, might as well just unveil it on national TV. See if how many fans are crossover basketball and football fans.
And I told him, I spoke to Mike Bone in the press box. I told him, like, hey, Shotgun had a good idea for you at the basketball game. He laughed. He's like, that would be good. It's like the basketball fans, like, it would be like a gift to the basketball fans first, like the ones that are diehard. They like everything, not just football. So he actually laughed about it. So yeah,
there you go. Contract wise, what are you expecting in this deal to get Lincoln Riley to USC?
100 years, $1 trillion.
Jeez, he's immortal.
No, it's like Bruce just said, Mel Tucker signed a 10-year, $95 million deal. He's getting $10 million a year. I bet he's getting.
My thought
million
is $12 million.
Wow,
that was my thought. Like, I think they're resetting the market with this. I mean, Mel Tucker getting 95 is just crazy.
Yeah.
And like Bruce said, one winning season in 3 years as a head coach. It's not like he's got a great track record, a long track record at least. And I think a lot of the reasons why they gave that is because you can see the potential with Mel Tucker. He recruits at a high level, turns around programs really quickly. But that is a ton of money for a guy that you don't know if can get you. I talked about this previously during the search. There's plateau coaches, what I call plateau coaches. They can get you to a certain level, but are they going to get you to the national championship, a college football playoff? we know Lincoln Riley can get a team to a college football playoff. Can he get him to national championship? That's going to be the question for him. He's still a young guy, though. Whereas other coaches like Kirk Ferentz, he has done an amazing job at Iowa. And he's got them to be where they're a pretty consistent top 15 team. Between 5 and 15, though. Never in the top 4.
Yeah.
So are you – does – does that earn you the, you know, the highest paid coach? Because that's what he was for a long time, or at least in the top three. Obviously, these new contracts are changing that. So if Mel Tucker gets 95, I think, you know, that's 9.5 a year average. I think that Riley, I don't know the length of it, but I think he's getting $12 million. That would be my guess. That's, I think that's what it would take to get someone out of Oklahoma like that.
You might, and you know, talking to Brandon Sosna before, just, you know, he doesn't share like a whole lot of details about stuff, but you get the feeling that he's good at sort of like convincing people to come, but not necessarily overpaying for them, like not just throwing money. Like, I don't think this was a problem they had to throw. I mean, you had to throw some money at this problem, but I don't think that was the solution. Like, there had to be a lot of other stuff of why he would want to come. So if there's other things you
can
sell
just
it on.
Money, yeah.
Yeah. So it might not be that much, but I don't know. I guess we'll find out at some point. But yeah, I mean, they've been pretty good, I think, about the negotiation stuff. So, but just to get Lincoln Riley, whatever you got to pay him. And USC people like Heisman trophies, right? You know, he does pretty good with that, like winning some Heismans, like,
and having finalists. I mean, almost every year.
Like, remember those? Remember that was a thing? Like, remember those? Go to New York, like, and like, it's fun. Like, you got a weekend in New York, and you know, in December, and Heisman. Yeah, it hasn't happened for a while. Lincoln Riley got a good chance of that.
Yeah, for sure. Now, we had the Bruce Feldman side of things. We got to go to the recruiting side of things. We had the man, the myth, the legend, Gerard Martinez, national recruiting analyst
for
our site. Let me pull him up into our line. Hello, Gerard. You are live on Tunnel Vision. I believe it feels like Oklahoma's 2023 class is just disintegrating in front of our eyes right now. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Yes, 2023, but I think we have to look at 2022 first, because this is one of the few hirings that USC could make that would have that instant impact on the recruiting class. A couple of weeks ago, we were talking about, can they salvage the 2022 recruiting class? And when you saw that USC was agreeing to reschedule that game against Cal, you knew that that was a potential recruiting weekend that would be lost, which is going to be next weekend, and you didn't have any official visits this weekend. You really wondered, the 2022 class, are they just mailing it in? It is what it is. We're going to go and get our guy, and if it's maybe a Luke Fickell or somebody that we have to sign after the early signing period, which is December 15th, you thought, well, that's what USC has to do. Maybe sacrifice the 2022 class to get the right hire, so you really reestablish the culture in the football program and you move forward positively. Well, now you sort of have your cake and eat it too. We have Lincoln Riley here, which we didn't really consider as a candidate for USC. And really the only guy that was on the board, only two coaches that were on the board that you thought could make that instant impact and salvage the 2022 recruiting cycle for USC would have been potentially James Franklin or Urban Meyer. But Riley definitely does that. A ton of overlap with USC and Oklahoma recruiting 2023 and 2022 beyond even that. So this is a instant impact for USC, and we're already hearing tons of noise about USC flipping Oklahoma Sooner commitments.
Mm-hmm. Were you surprised about the tweets that just started flooding out from recruits that were like, oh, look at that, might be staying home, or was that to be expected?
That was to be somewhat expected after the news broke. Obviously, the news breaking itself was unexpected. I mean, I can take you through the backstory of how I found out about it, kind of, sort of, but, you know, I was texting multiple people, and I had been going over this Matt Campbell post that I had last night because there was a lot of news breaking about Matt Campbell going to Washington. So I was checking in with sources and sort of looking at what was happening, and you know, the narrative was being spun out of control by the message boards, and I really hadn't had anybody say, no, Matt Campbell has turned down USC, or Matt Campbell is going to Washington. It was kind of the opposite. There was a lot of sources in Washington who were still saying, no, we're still hearing that Matt Campbell is probably going to USC. In fact, that was the majority of the sources that were talking about Matt Campbell and USC. So I'm kind of chasing that down and putting together this post just to give people an update. You know, what's going on? What's happening? There's a lot of rumors out there. Just give you some what's the consistent information that we're getting at this point in time. And as I'm putting that up, so I wait last night, decided not to put it up. I talked with Chris a little bit about it, and we decided, let's just wait for the morning, see if anything changes. Nothing really changed, so I sort of just dragged my feet, okay, I'm going to put this Matt Campbell thing up just so people know where that stands. It doesn't sound like he's going to Washington. And as I'm putting that up, I'm literally writing the last line on that post. I get a text message out of the blue, hey, I just heard from such and such, Riley to USC. And I had seen maybe a half an hour or an hour before that, Bruce Feldman had said, don't be surprised if USC takes a big swing at Lincoln Riley, which we all were like, at this point in time, this late in the game, like last weekend of when they're supposed to announce, they're supposed to announce something Monday, and now we're hearing about Lincoln Riley. That seems like a completely out of left field type of thing. And it came from a very good source and was conveyed to me by a very good source. And that was when I sort of go, well, let me just post this little tidbit about there's some other stuff here going on. And it kind of relates to what Bruce Feldman had put out there about Lincoln Riley. And I posted the post. And then, you know, it was like the 45 minutes afterwards, it was basically breaking like, yeah, it sounds like Lincoln Riley's going to USC. So once we knew that, yes, Relique Brown, five-star running back out of Mater Dei, has been to USC numerous times, officially visited USC in June. I knew that would be the first guy that would be on the hit list for Lincoln Riley to flip to get him to come with him to USC. So that was really not a surprise, just seeing how much Relique Brown had been at USC, very comfortable with USC. And I think if USC was in a better situation, even with Clay Helton, USC had a shot at maybe flipping Relique Brown down the line. Obviously, the disaster season, Clay Helton gets fired, so you're thinking, okay, that's off the table. But, yeah, he was the first guy. And I've got a list of guys. I know this is not a recruiting segment or a recruiting show, but I got some guys that are sort of overlap guys. If I just throw some names out, and if you guys want to follow up with those names, we can. I don't know what you want to do, Keely. You're in charge. Tell me what we're doing.
Well, first off, let's talk about Malachi Nelson. That was an interesting one. It seemed like USC, and I know that's 2023, but I want to go there first just because he decommitted so in our show right now. That was one where, you know, I went to Los Al a couple times. He really stated that he loved USC but just couldn't do it, especially after what happened with Clay Helton and saying that he was going to be the only quarterback offered in the class. He decommitted. What does that mean now for USC?
Yeah, USC sort of fumbled that, right? They talked to him and recruited him and basically said, listen, you're our guy. You're the guy for the 2022 class. We feel great about you. We don't know what happened behind the scenes. Maybe USC felt like he was slipping to Oklahoma, and that's why they decided to make the offer to Nico Iamalela, who is from Warren High School and is also a 2023 quarterback. So Iamalela is obviously another big-time quarterback. He's a guy that, you know, there's a lot of argument between Nico and Nelson, who's the top guy in that 2023 class. So you understand from a talent standpoint why USC would want to offer both guys. But they had already really put their best foot forward with Malachi and said, you're our guy. We're all in on you. And then before he made that commitment to Oklahoma, USC went ahead and they went after Nico. And that totally destroyed the relationship. That was the end of it basically for USC and Malachi Nelson. Now, obviously, with Riley, he has a great relationship with Riley. So many of these kids locally just want to have USC as an option so they can stay home, their families can watch them play. Seeing Malachi, and I think you're going to see Makai Lemon and possibly DeAndre Moore also at Los Al, all 2023 kids, all very highly top 100 recruits, probably all decommit. I don't know if Nelson's going to flip to USC immediately. I know there's a lot of push for Damani Jackson to make that recommitment to USC. He's the five-star cornerback in the 2022 class from Mater Dei that decommit from USC just a week ago after taking his official visit to Alabama. He has a tremendous relationship with Dante Williams, and I know Dante's going to say, hey, man, we need you to sort of be a catalyst here. you know, get that little bit of momentum, you know, that sort of that last snowflake to get the avalanche going. And so we're going to see how this plays out here this week. I know there's going to be a bunch of kids up there unofficially. They're going to want to meet with the new coaching staff. And some kids are going to want to know, where do I fall on the board now with USC?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How important is keeping Dante Williams on staff for Lincoln Riley, like, as far as, you know, building on this recruiting class? Is it really important, not that important? What do you think?
It's important, although I will say Lincoln Riley has done a very good job coming in and plucking away Southern California talent at Oklahoma. So, you know, he's been able to do it without Dante Williams. They were able to sign Gentry Williams, who's a local Tulsa kid, a five-star athlete that USC recruited really hard. USC was probably in the lead for most of the spring. And then as we got into the summer, it was really his relationship with Dante Williams and his relationship with Clay Helton. He talked about how Clay Helton was a vital part of his recruiting process. He talked to Clay Helton weekly, and he felt like the USC coaching staff really had a great relationship with him, and he was comfortable with him, and he liked all the aspects of the education. There was a lot of boxes that were checked. Obviously, he was a little farther away from home, but once – it was really Lincoln Riley who decided he needed to get more personally involved as a head coach into his recruitment. That's when we started to see the tide shift a little bit. And Oklahoma really made him more of a priority because of Lincoln Riley getting in and talking to him more. And once they got him down on campus a couple times unofficially, you started to feel like it was slipping away from USC a little bit. And the next thing you know, Oklahoma's leading. He commits to Oklahoma. And again, the disastrous season happens. Clay Helton is fired. And even though Dante Williams is the interim head coach, and you know that he's pushing hard and saying, hey, listen, you know, Gentry, dude, if you're a guy that can commit and I can get all these guys that are top commits, you know, that's going to help my brand. That's going to help my possibilities being the guy that gets the permanent head job. We were hearing a lot of stuff in the background. It still didn't happen. Gentry said, you know, I mean, everything was going for Oklahoma. They're winning games. He had built that relationship up with Lincoln Riley and felt more comfortable with the coaching staff. And he turned around and decided to make that verbal commitment to Oklahoma. Now, obviously, we wonder, is Gentry Williams going to make another official visit to USC? I know there's quite a few guys that USC is going to try to get back on campus, kids that they had there in June that they can bring back now because they've made a new coaching hire. The NCAA has made that rule that if you change coaches, that the kids that, as long as they have one of their five official visits left, they can duplicate one of those visits. They can repeat a visit to the school that changed their coach. So you've got guys like Gentry Williams, Nicholas Anderson, wide receiver out of Katy, Texas, 6'3", 200 pounds, who was committed to Oregon, flipped to Oklahoma. He took an official visit to Oklahoma. He has already officially visited USC. You've got, like I said, Gentry Williams. Zion Branch is a guy that was taking an official visit to Oklahoma. There's a handful of players there that have already been to USC that can come back. I was just checking in with a source and trying to see, you know, of that group, which was a really good group in June. USC brought in a really good group of official visitors for that month. Another guy that, you know, has got to be talked about is Mikel Williams. Now, interestingly enough, Mikel Williams, the five-star defensive end from Columbus, Georgia, he was not offered a scholarship by Oklahoma, but he obviously had a really good relationship with the USC coaching staff. He loves USC. His brother, Michael Trigg, is on the roster. I'm hearing that there's a good chance that he comes back and he officially visits USC again. Same thing with defensive tackle, another Georgia kid, Christian Miller, four-star, another 2022 kid, already officially visited USC. There's some optimism that they're going to be able to get him back on campus. Now, with the defensive players, a lot is going to depend on the defensive coordinator that they bring in. I'm hearing potentially Alex Grinch is the guy that they're going to bring in. He's the defensive coordinator at Oklahoma now. But I've also heard some other things, like maybe there's somebody else that they want to bring in, or maybe there's a co-coordinator. That just seems a little conflicting right now. I'm hearing different things on that, so I'm not 100% sure, but that for the defensive players might be very important outside of the guys that already have a very good relationship with Dante Williams and maybe our defensive backs, because that's obviously a little less important schematically if you're a cornerback.
Yeah.
I just thought it was funny. Mark Watkins commented Gmart's words per answer put Shotgun to shame. I think some people are new to how much Gerard can just one question take it away. So it runs on the yeah. site. Shotgun, speaking of you, any questions do you have for Gerard?
A lot of people want to know, Gerard, you talked about some of these players, but who's on flip watch or recommitment watch for Demonte Jackson or Devin Brown or some of those guys that have previously been committed? There were a lot of questions about C.J. Williams at Mater Dei, Tatiroa McMillan at Servite, some big wide receivers. USC obviously needs some playmakers after seeing what has happened to them at this end of the season without Drake London, and also Zion Branch. So those are some names that people are throwing out. Who do you see as potentially on flip watch or recommitment watch?
Well, I think Devin Brown's a great guy to talk about a little bit because, you know, Blair Angulo does a fantastic job in the Midwest, sort of Mountain West analyst for 24/7 Sports, and that's, you know, this really important region that a lot of people miss. And you've got Devin Brown there, who is at Queen Creek at Arizona, and he's transferred over to Corner Canyon up in Utah, which is the school that Jackson Dart went to.
Yeah.
And he's been committed to USC for a long time, just recently decommit, and really asking various sources about him and sort of that process of him decommitting. The vibe is that USC is probably not going to be back involved with him. And, you know, it might be a parting of ways kind of twofold. Obviously, Devin Brown wasn't comfortable with the direction of where USC was going with the coaching staff changes and what have you on offense. But then at the same time, I kind of question whether he's a guy that really fits in what Lincoln Riley wants to do. I don't know that he would be a complete outlier, but certainly it seems like Lincoln Riley has gone to more mobile quarterbacks over the past few years, going back to Baker Mayfield and obviously the two quarterbacks that he had this past year, Spencer Rattler, and he's got Caleb Williams there. And there's been a lot of chatter about Caleb Williams and his future and what's going to go on with him. Certainly USC has a guy that's mobile in Jackson Dart. The amazing thing about this is when you think about recruiting and you think about the most important position on the field, quarterback, USC went from having a real mess of the depth chart potentially here to they could have murderer's row here where you've got Miller Moss on the roster, you've got Jackson Dart. That's going to obviously be a quarterback competition unless Miller Moss just feels like schematically it's not going to be his fit. But I don't know that he would think that out of the box. So that would be a quarterback competition, which would happen in spring. The fact that you could still get a quarterback this class, and the interesting thing is Oklahoma didn't offer a scholarship to a quarterback in this class, but I think USC has to. And if it's not going to be Devin Brown, then you sort of look at a guy like maybe a Justin Martin. You look at Malik Murphy. Malik Murphy's committed to Texas, but it seems like that's just a countdown to him decommitting to Texas, especially with Texas going after Devin Brown. So that would be an interesting flip-flop if you saw Devin Brown turn around, commit to Texas, and then Malik Murphy turn around and commit to USC. Now, I know Malik Murphy is very close with Malachi Nelson, and we do expect Malachi Nelson to potentially flip to USC, or at this point he's decommitted and would commit to USC. Now, he and Malik Murphy are very close, but you know what? Miller Moss and Jackson Dart were really close during the process, and they were in the same class. So you never know how that's going to shake out, but you're looking at, you know, potentially getting a guy like, let's just say, you know, Justin Martin or Malik Murphy in the 2022 class. You've got Dart, you've got Miller Moss there, and then you've got Malik Nelson coming in for 2023. So now you're sewn up for the future. Now you're good. That's a relief. As opposed to this guy might transfer. They might bring in, you know, a coach that wants to run more read options. So Miller Moss is gone. And now basically you've just got Jackson Dart because, you know, Keaton Slovis is also taken off. So you've got one quarterback on the roster who's a scholarship quarterback, and you're scrambling into the portal to try to get somebody that can run that type of offense. And you're looking towards, you know, 2023, hoping that you can get a top guy there. So it's really changed. It's really, you know, been a sudden change when it comes to the quarterback position specifically.
One quick thing, Gerard, before I let you go. This weekend coming up, the Cal game, USC is going to be on the road. We said the only way USC could host official visitors if they hire a head coach that could come in right away. Lincoln Riley can do that. And he could be on campus and actually host official visitors. I know it's just happened. Have you heard of that being the plan where Lincoln Riley's on the USC campus while USC is playing up at Berkeley and hosting official visitors, trying to get, with only really two official visit weekends left before the early signing period, you know, basically you could double the amount of time you could host visitors. But have you heard if that's the plan or if that could be the case?
I have yet to hear anyone actually schedule an official visit for this weekend. I think that at the very least, they will have unofficial visits. I have heard that Lincoln Riley is expected to be on campus tomorrow. So it's all moving very quickly. There is definitely potential for them to be able to host official visits this weekend. That's just going to depend on, I think, you know, the logistics of everything. You know, who can they get together? They're going to have the current staff up at Berkeley. Dante Williams is going to be there. He's going to be coaching. So it is a little awkward because he's one of your best recruiters. You would want him on campus. But I think with the kids that already have a relationship with Dante Williams, maybe that's not the most important thing in the world. What's more important is the factor of where's the direction of the football program. I want to hear it from the head coach's mouth. And who is the head coach bringing in at my position? So if it's offense, I think that's really not a big deal. I have heard Dennis Simmons' name thrown around. I have heard that the offensive line coach at Oklahoma is more than likely to come with him. I haven't really heard any other names talked about consistently. We did talk about Alex Grinch being the DC. Now, if he's coming in too and he's on campus, then that gets them kickstarted on the defensive side of the ball, and those recruits are going to have some idea of the scheme and sort of the direction of the defense, and that will help push forward with defensive recruiting. If he's not the guy and they decide to kind of look around and see somebody else they could bring in as a defensive coordinator, then you're going to either have to tell the recruits, hey, look, this is what we have in mind. You got to trust me. I'm a guy that's gotten the college football playoff, won the Big 12 a bunch of times, and they go with that. And it sounds like, you know, I don't really have a lot of exposure to Lincoln Riley as a coach. You know, I haven't really ever been around him. I've never spoken to him. So I don't know personality-wise how he is. I just know that the results from him as a recruiter and things that kids had said, they say he's a pretty dynamic recruiter, a great personality. And so he may be good enough to be able to sell just the scheme and the plan of the defense and not necessarily have a guy set in stone that's already on campus recruiting. He may be able to do it with just, you know, some of the support staff and some of the guys he brings in offensively and be able to, you know, jar loose some commitments, at least from the guys like you talked about with Damani Jackson. That would be a guy, obviously, that would be centered in on maybe Gentry Williams because he has a relationship with him. Zion Branch, again, official visit to Oklahoma, looking at Oklahoma pretty seriously. You know, if you were going to hire a guy like David Aranda or maybe Luke Fickell, Matt Campbell, those guys were not in the picture for Zion Branch. So it's sort of a cold meeting. You're trying to learn these guys and you know, figure them out. And they're kind of an evaluation of personalities and character on both sides of the table. Here, you hit the ground running because Lincoln Riley has already talked to these kids. He knows their families. And so that is going to be an easier process, acclimating as to, okay, this is what we can expect from USC. And again, you have plenty of these kids. You know, Hero Canoe is another guy, Santa Margarita, Keeley's Hood. That's a big-time defensive lineman that USC has been recruiting and just kind of spinning their wheels on, and a guy that was really favoring Oklahoma, maybe Ohio State, and now all of a sudden USC's like right up there. I mean, he's already visited USC unofficially, spent 2 days there with his mom and his sister. They both loved the university, but the football aspect of it was obviously lacking, and now you have that. His host family are big-time Trojan fans, and so the thing was funny about it is I got the sense that, you know, his host family was big-time Trojan fans, and they really understood the situation with Clay Helton, and they knew it just wasn't a good situation development-wise and sort of where the team was, where the program was. And so they were close enough to it to know, hey, man, it's not just about Reggie Bush and Heisman trophies and everything USC's done in the past. It's about what USC is right now, and we know what USC is right now. Go to Ohio State, go to Oklahoma. That all changes because they know who Lincoln Riley is, and I think they're excited about it. So there's potential to get him back on campus, and maybe, you know, you just get a complete 180 in some of these recruitments. Offensive line recruiting. I mean, offensive line recruiting could be huge now. You got Josh Connerly, the five-star offensive tackle from Washington, who was down here on another unofficial visit. I think he's been to USC 4 times since the summer. Okay, the offensive tackle is an absolute need for USC. Devin Campbell, I talked to someone close to his family, quote-unquote, Lincoln Riley, that's wonderful. That's a great hire. They were just beaming about that hire. We know that His family is very pro USC just because of education. And when they came out here on his official visit, they loved it. And it was like, wow, really? Devon Campbell, like five-star out of Texas. Like, you just didn't think that was possible for USC. Now you're bringing Lincoln Riley into the mix. And that, again, had a relationship with the offensive line coach at Oklahoma already, knows Lincoln Riley, likes Lincoln Riley. So you're combining all the good things about USC from the off-field standpoint, because obviously the football program was not the biggest sell for them. And now you're combining it with the football aspects and the player development and all the success that Lincoln Riley has. So there's some synergy there. Nito Amuzulu, who's a kid that's impossible to try to read because he doesn't talk to anybody, but another 6'4", 285-pound guard slash tackle out of Allen, Texas, who loved USC, came here on an official visit, repeated it with an unofficial visit. These kids are, you know, using their own money to come out and unofficially visit USC when they're getting blasted by Oregon State and Stanford. So, you know, when you think, okay, now you put into the mix the potential that they can be on the other side of those blowout wins at home, yeah, it gives USC a much higher ceiling. Jake Taylor is another guy that USC really didn't get anywhere with. The big offensive tackle who's committed to Oklahoma out of Bishop Gorman, he's a guy that now USC might have some traction with because the offensive line coach, if they're able to bring in the co-coordinator offensive line coach, which I hear, you know, Lincoln Riley wants to keep that dynamic of the offense together, then they may have a shot at being able to flip him. So, yeah, we went from night and day here. We just basically flipped the switch in terms of what the 2022 recruiting class could look like, which is really big because you were looking just a few weeks ago like maybe USC is going to sacrifice this class just to get a good coach.
All righty. The man, the myth, the legend, Gerard. Thanks so much for coming on. We had a comment on Facebook that said Gerard is just the encyclopedia of recruiting, and I can't agree more. Thank you, Gerard, for all your insights, not just on recruiting, but about the whole situation. We appreciate you.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks, GM.
All righty, guys. Well, we're almost at an hour and a half for the show. Obviously, we do that easily for like a loss that USC has, so it makes sense that we're doing an hour and a half for...
Still crazy the amount of people we got.
I know.
On
thank
here.
You to everyone who's watching, putting comments. It's pretty crazy. We really appreciate it. But guys, I mean, any final thoughts before we wrap up this show? Lincoln Riley to USC. Still a little surreal, if I do say
it
so
myself.
It is surreal.
And it's funny the way Bruce put it. And, you know, Bruce and I go way back. We're friends. We tease each other a lot. But he's funny. He can say some funny things. And the way he was talking about how, like, no one expected this because USC just never done it. Like, have they ever done anything this big before?
The one thought I can think of is Rick Majerus. And that was for, like, 6 days or whatever.
It was, like, a month, I think. But, yeah, like, they hired Rick Majerus. So it was a big deal. And he retires or whatever. Like,
yeah. I don't think that's...
They just never have swung for the fences like this. And, you know, maybe it's PTSD. Maybe just like, you know, and I think we had a realistic view of like some really good candidates. And sometime early on, people were like, oh, Matt Campbell's not going to be that good. Like, he would be great. Like, he would be the best coach USC's like ever hired, you know, like on paper, like just someone that's qualified. And, you know, Dave Aranda hadn't been around a while. But, man, he looks like he's on a really great trajectory here. Luke Fickell obviously taking Cincinnati potentially the college football playoff. Like, he could be, these are all like great coaches, but you know, it's hard to even fathom like going to get like Nick Saban would be tough. Lincoln Riley's like that young version of that. Like, that the potential could be there. Or like you mentioned, like a Kirby Smart or a Dabo Sweeney. It's like all those guys are like, there's a zillion reasons why they wouldn't want to go. But, you know, give credit to Bone and Zosna that they were able to identify someone that could potentially go. And hey, it's great that Oklahoma's going to the SEC, but holy crap, is my job going to get a lot harder than it was before? And, you know, there was already have a hard time like trying to win playoff games and stuff, but, you know, he's winning Heisman's, he's getting to the playoff, and now you're going to go to the SEC. It's like, oh my God, it's going to be tougher. You know, it's good. I think they identified a great candidate. A candidate's not just like very good. It's like, you know, beyond what you would even imagine could be the hire for USC, and they were able to execute it, and they did it very quietly. And so all of that, you got to give them credit. I mean, we talked about from the beginning, this was a much more professional search. No matter who they end up getting, the search itself was professional. It wasn't the way things were done before at USC was just absolutely awful. And this was done I mean, you could come in and do like a pretty good coaching search and be way better than what, but this was an excellent, you know, they did a really good job on this one. And they were, you know, they were criticized along the way. So they probably feel pretty good now. Hopefully they're like sitting somewhere having a glass of wine or something, putting their feet up with a fire, but just.
No, I think the work is still continuing.
I know, but just you can give them a break, like for like a minute or two, just like kind of sit back.
I don't think they think like that.
I know. They don't. Sorry, what's that?
Looked like you were about to say something, Shoddy.
No, they swung for the fences. You know, USC fans, we want an established winner. We want USC to be able to go out and hire, and they did that. There's an apology thread on the beat. So if you guys want to go in there and insert your GIF or whatever
it's
it is,
time.
To, then you can do that. If you aren't a member of the P, then you should sign up now.
Hey.
Great opportunity.
75% off. Boom.
We are getting some more questions. I asked for some final questions if people have them. We had a lot of them, and Gerard didn't touch on this, but on T-Mac at Servite, probably the best 7-on-7 player that we've seen. Also
he's
a
really
volleyball
good.
Player.
Beast.
And we've seen Kyle Ford destroy at the opening.
Yeah, yeah.
T-Mac was even better. And he's committed to Oregon. So a potential, if you can flip him, you can hurt Oregon as well. I think USC will definitely be in the mix. He'll give USC another look. And especially seeing what the receivers in this offense have done under Lincoln Riley. You look at CeeDee Lamb and some of those guys, Hollywood Brown. Then I think that he'll get a look. Can they flip him? That'll be one that's to keep an eye on as well. And that one's a little bit tougher than some of the other ones, but I think that they'll be back in the mix and he'll probably take another visit to USC. I know a couple people had asked about that one, so I wanted to get that one out there.
Okay.
All righty. Well, final thoughts, final call.
We've also had a bunch of questions about will he keep Graham Harrell? And I don't know if fans know this, but there is a connection there. They were at Texas Tech, I believe, at the same time. Obviously, Lincoln Riley was a walk-on at Texas Tech. And after a year there, he quit the team because Mike Leach said, you're not very good at this whole playing thing, but I think you've got a great future in coaching, and maybe you'll make some money at that one day. And so he went on the staff. He was a student assistant and grad assistant. He was there for a few years. I think Graham Harrell was also there at the same time. So you got, yeah, it'd be interesting if he did keep him around, just because star athlete, the star quarterback at a school, lowly student assistant or whatever he was at the time when Graham Harrell was there, and completely flip it. So there is a connection. I don't think that's going to happen.
I wouldn't think so.
No.
I don't think that the administration at USC wants to keep around a ton of guys, but there is that connection. It is the same offensive scheme. So, you know, it's a possibility. Don't think it's going to happen, but it's a possibility. I know a lot of people asked about it, so I wanted to get that one out there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
All righty. That's going to wrap it up for tonight's Tunnel Vision. Thanks so much to everyone who liked, commented, over 500 likes on this episode. So thank you so much for that. Continue to like and subscribe wherever you are, Facebook, YouTube, or Periscope. Crazy day. Crazy day.
I got one more.
Sure.
We haven't had a food analogy.
Oh.
And someone asked.
We could not close it out.
Andrew Hoag asked, what type of restaurant will the USC offense be next season?
Yeah, I mean, this is like French Laundry. It's like, you know, this isn't like, hey, let's go to Master's. That's really nice. It's cool. Like, no, this is like the two Michelin stars of French Laundry up in Napa Valley. Like, this is what you want. Like, this is like the bucket list restaurant that you save up for like 6 months to go to. Like, that's what it's going to be now. So.
Wow. Well done, Shoddy.
That's where Gavin Newsom was when he got, like, remember, like, during that thing?
No, I don't. Yeah. I don't deal with politics.
Wrapping
I deal with college football.
Up with a food
it's a great restaurant.
So analogy. Yeah. Well done, Shoddy.
Yeah.
Good call by you.
We've gotten a lot of snark from Oklahoma fans, a lot of in our mentions on Twitter and stuff. And, you know, honestly, to them, it probably feels like 55-19 once again.
Ooh.
Shoddy.
Oh, Shoddy.
That's what this is.
Shoddy.
A destruction, especially when you see the recruiting class that's leaving their program or
Blair,
leaving their
Blair
class
had a fun,
right now.
A little gift that he tweeted out.
Blair Angula.
Like, yeah, it was pretty interesting. But like, you're Oklahoma, first of all, so much success. Lincoln Riley, it was a great transition. You go from a legendary head coach, Bob Stoops, to Lincoln Riley.
Success.
They haven't had to do a search for quite a while, but I think they'll go out and get someone really good as well. So, I mean, it's, you know.
Tell you who I call, Lane Kiffin.
Like, I think one of the Oklahoma reporters I follow, like, said, like, I'm on the Lane train. So, that, you know, it's It's gonna be interesting.
And we mentioned this with Bruce, but it just changes everything. It could completely change the college football landscape.
Yeah,
because Oklahoma's gonna pick somebody. What if they took Cristobal from Oregon, and Oregon takes somebody? Like yeah. You could see the complete musical chairs rather than it just being, you know, Florida taking Billy Napier from Louisiana.
Yeah,
like it could be powerhouse taken from powerhouse, tower taken from powerhouse. So could be a complete restructuring of college football. And I think we all expected that there was going to be a big change this year from the openings that came open. And if Miami comes open as well, just some big name jobs out there. So this is a huge domino, and we'll see what other dominoes fall from it after this.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Pac-12 wise, it's pretty stable with Jake Dickert, the interim,
who did a great job.
He was, it was a great video they put out there for Washington State. So he's going to be the Washington State head coach, taking over for Nick Rolovich. Washington is still open. There was rumors like, whoever was talking about, was it Gerard that was talking about? For Matt Campbell mm-hmm. potentially going there. And obviously USC is filled. Looks like Herm's going to stay at Arizona State. We thought that might turn over. Chip Kelly finishes strong. He's probably not going anywhere. But Washington could be a big one. And then if Mario leaves, that could be another big one if Oregon has to find a coach too. But if you're looking at the whole like coaching carousel sweepstakes, like, and you got to like rank them at the end of the day, like USC's one and like nobody's close. Like that's the higher of all hires. Like that's the best you could do.
USC's already won the offseason, and it's like 12 hours into the regular season, and USC's still not even done with their regular season.
It's technically not even their offseason yet, so craziness, madness. Well, be sure to stay tuned to uscfootball.com, the Parasol podcast feed. This will go in podcast form. We'll be tacking this at every angle, recruiting, behind the scenes, whatnot, player reaction, everything.
There's like a million things on the front page right now. Like
stay tuned to the site. We'll have a lot of podcasts this week. Family Feud. I'm sure Harvey Hyde wants to talk about this. I'm sure Dan Weber will have a take on this as well.
Oh, we might have
to
get Dan on, yeah.
Yeah, so everyone just stay tuned to uscfootball.com. So much content coming up this week, so make sure you do that. But that's
if you're not subscribed, now is the perfect time.
Oh, my God.
I think there's like 12 to 15 articles up today, and I think about half of those are probably VIP, so good time to be like to be a member.
Even better because we have a sale. Isn't that right, boss man?
75% off annual membership. Get in there. You pay like $25 and you can have that access to the site for a year. You're like, okay, that's worth it, you know.
Yeah
a couple cups of coffee, and you will not be disappointed. Get on the Peristyle. If you sign up, get on the Peristyle, post, say hello. Crazy right now. There's a lot of posts and stuff going on, but get in there, mix it up, say, hey, I watch you guys on Tunnel Vision, and we'll come in and thank you for it. But thank you.
For sure. Alrighty, that's going to wrap it up for tonight's episode. That's Ryan. That's Shotgun. I'm Keely. We'll see you soon. That's wrapping it up. Bye.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.